Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and I'm so grateful to join with you. We're transcending time and space together for the purpose of our healing, and we heal our mind, and we heal the whole world. So, A Course in Miracles teaches us, right in the beginning, it says, seek not to change the world, but to change your mind about the world. It's like Gandhi saying, be the change you'd like to see in the world. And one of my favorite things that Gandhi said was, my life is my message. My life is my message. And I endeavor to make my life my message and to be a message of love. And every day I make corrections. Every day I see ways in which I was not loving and ways in which I can be more loving. And the joy is in discovering new ways to be more loving, more gentle, more kind, more passionate. I think that's patience with passion. Passionate. Okay, new words are coming forth. This is going to be great. I'm excited. So as always, we begin with a prayer and a blessing. And I invite you to place your hand on your heart. And let's do this wholeheartedly because we're calling forth holy relationship healing. And there's one relationship. It's the relationship that God is having with itself by means of us. One relationship, one life, one power, one presence. It is the power of love. It is the presence of love. This is who and what we are. We are grateful and thankful right now to move into our heart and to say yes to the unprecedented, unlimited flow of love. So grateful and so thankful to remember that all of our relationships are eternal and infinite. Never ending. So we have all eternity to remember our perfection and to share that with everyone in our life. So grateful and so thankful to consciously connect and commune with the higher Holy Spirit self right now. We're calling forth a Holy Spirit healing right now. We're calling forth a healing in our mind, calling forth a healing in our heart, calling forth a healing in our body. We are willing to have a healing. We are willing to let go of every thought, every belief, every attitude, every memory that does not serve our life of love. We are consciously choosing to be truly helpful. We are grateful and thankful to share the benefits of our miraculous life, our loving heart, with everyone because we are one with them. We declare our willingness. We declare the healing is happening now because we allow it to happen now. And in gratitude, we let it be. We know it is done, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes, indeed. Yes, so grateful. All right, so I know that we have many people in this class who are new to A Course in Miracles, and we have many people who've been studying A Course in Miracles much longer than I have. So we have a mix of people. And I'm going to start us off with defining a holy relationship. So we're going to define some terms here. A holy relationship is a relationship that has a holy purpose. It has the purpose of supporting us in remembering our true identity and the true identity of everyone else. So we're all one. And really, we're only having one relationship. There's only one relationship that we can have, although it appears that we have relationship with many because it appears that there are many people. Many people, many bodies, many beings, one life, one power, one presence. And the holy relationship is the relationship that is designed by the Holy Spirit. You can think of it as having a blueprint, an outline, intention, trajectory, all these different aspects to it, all designed to catapult us to a complete understanding of the unity and oneness of all life. A complete understanding that there is no separation, there never has been, and there never will be. So this realization of oneness is what A Course in Miracles calls the atonement. It looks like at-one-ment, but we pronounce it atonement. And so in that awareness of total unity, we're saved. We're saved from all the suffering, and we're saved from having to repeat mistakes and errors and learn from our mistakes. So in being identified with the ego, we learn from mistakes. We learn through contrast. And relationships give us an awesome way to look at contrast. So when we're loving and kind and compassionate and generous in our relationships, then they go really well. Things are good. But if we're controlling and manipulating and disrespectful and unkind, impatient, then our relationships don't flow. They're not so helpful. There's a lot of suffering. There's pain. There's hurt. There's resentment. There's regret. There's blame. And there's shame. The way out of all that negativity is forgiveness. Forgiveness is non-judgment. Forgiveness is releasing the meaning that we've made of it. Forgiveness is letting go of our interpretation of what transpired and allowing the Holy Spirit to show us what things are for. So we go to the workbook lesson, I don't know what anything is for. And I always say, I don't know what anything is for, but I'd like to. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that's definitely happened to me is I've had relationship disasters where someone in my life that I was in a relationship with seemed to desert me or confuse me. And it felt like, oh my God, this is a mess. This is horrible. They've ruined my life. They've destroyed my happiness. I've had all those thoughts. But then in hindsight, realizing, oh, you know what? If I had stayed in that relationship, I was totally willing to contort myself and to live a limited life and to not express my genius. I was willing to sacrifice a life of love in order to stay in that relationship. Thank God they dumped me. Thank God. If they hadn't dumped me, I'd still be right there. I've had that in relationship. I've had that in the workplace. Thank God they fired me. Now, it might take you a minute to get to that place. But just think, can you think of any relationship or maybe a work experience, a friendship, any kind of a thing where initially when the person maybe dumped you, broke up with you, fired you, when that happened, you were horrified, you were angry, you were upset. But then over time, you realized, you know what? That was for my highest and best. Oh my gosh. Thank God that happened. Thank God they dumped me because I never would have let myself out. I would have agreed to suffer for decades. So, we don't know what anything is for. That's lesson 25. And I think it's really helpful. It says in lesson 5, paragraph 5, it is crucial to your learning to be willing to give up the goals you have established for everything. The recognition that those goals are meaningless rather than good or bad is the only way to accomplish this. The idea for today is a step in this direction. I do not know what anything is for. I do not know what anything is for. Being able to step into that place of, I do not know what anything is for, is a place of humility. As near as I can tell, in my 30 years of studying spiritual principle, the fastest path to really understanding the unity of all life is to be in that place of, I don't know what anything is for. I'm going to give up all the meaning that I've made of things. I am going to stop labeling things good and bad, right and wrong. Instead, I'm just going to say everything is working together for my good. And I am interested in seeing how that could be. So even when something happens that we don't like, that we think, oh, this is a disaster, this is pain, this is suffering, this is the worst thing that could happen. Even a death, even an injury or an illness, even a loss of any kind, if we can step back from it and say, I don't know what anything is for, but I'd like to. I don't know what anything is for, but it's for my learning. I don't know what anything is for, but it has to be for my good or it could not have occurred. If we can step into that place, that's a place of real humility. And humility is the place where in our mind, there is no better, there is no worse. There's no better than, there's no less than. There's no you're good, but I'm better. No greater than, no less than. That's the place of true humility. That's the place in our mind where we can discover the unity of all life. And discovering the unity of all life is the end of suffering. Because once we really understand the unity of all life, we're not going to be unkind anymore. We're not going to be disrespectful anymore. We're not going to be hurtful anymore. We're not going to be snarky anymore. And we're going to recognize everything is an opportunity to love more fully. And love is what we are about. In chapter 17 of the text of A Course in Miracles, chapter 17 is entitled Forgiveness and the Holy Relationship. And at the end of section 5, the Healed Relationship, it says, as you begin to recognize and accept the gifts you have so freely given to your brother, so the gifts of compassion, the gifts of patience, the gifts of kindness and understanding, as you begin to recognize and accept the gifts you have so freely given to your brother, you will also accept the effects of the holy instant and use them to correct all your mistakes and free you from their results. And learning this, you will have also learned how to release all the sonship and offer it in gladness and thanksgiving to him who gave you your release and who would extend it through you. So, as we begin to recognize and accept the gifts that we can give our brothers and sisters, extending compassion and patience and kindness all the time. So being able to look at each situation and each circumstance, and no matter what is occurring, to not take offense. It doesn't mean you can't feel whatever you feel, but to consciously say, I'm not going to take offense. I am going to have trust and faith that regardless of the appearance, something beautiful, something miraculous, something amazing, something healing is emerging here. And I'm going to invite you in this class to think of right now a relationship situation where you are feeling that it's a mess. It's a disaster. It's confusing. It is pain. And let's focus on that in these two classes and apply the healing principles in our mind to that relationship. Let's just focus on it for these 2 days. Having a relationship healing. Being the fulcrum point of healing in that relationship. And it does not matter, my friend, it does not matter if that person is still living or not, because we are not a body. We are spirit, innocent and free, forever. And so we can have a relationship healing regardless of whether or not the person has passed on or we don't know how to contact them anymore. It does not matter. It does not matter. Yesterday, I got to talk with someone that I didn't know if they were dead or alive. I hadn't talked to them in a year and a half. And out of the clear blue, they hadn't responded in a year and a half, I got a response. And I found out that they had been deathly ill and unable to make contact with anyone. And fortunately, I did not feel deeply offended or hurt that I hadn't heard from them. I was really just blessing them and hoping that they were well, no matter what. And so grateful now that they're back in my life and we can talk and laugh together. And I'm so grateful that I don't feel resentment or hurt or anger or regret. Just so grateful that they're well, getting well, and we can be friends again. This work is not easy. Sometimes it can be very simple to talk about it, but it is the hardest thing we will do. Holy relationship is the hardest thing we do. A Course in Miracles tells us it is the fastest path to our spiritual freedom. Cultivating the holy relationship, and what it requires is our willingness. Now, A Course in Miracles talks about 2 kinds of relationships. And so every relationship we have falls into either category. So it's an ego-based relationship or a spirit-based relationship. The spirit-based relationship is called holy relationship in the vernacular of A Course in Miracles. And the ego-based relationship is called a special relationship. So one of the things about the ego is the ego never feels good for more than an instant because the ego has no foundation in truth. It has no foundation in what is good, which is love. So the ego always feels lacking. The ego always feels limitation. And so the relationships that the ego creates always are missing something. They're never completely satisfying. There's always some limitation. And frequently, there's a whole host of problems, disappointments, limitations, sense of lack, etc. So the special relationship is designed by the ego to give us the illusion of shelter against the storm. Shelter against the storm. And this is how I describe it. It doesn't say shelter against the storm in A Course in Miracles, but I have found this description very helpful for people to understand it very quickly. So you can think of special relationships, ego-based relationships that are providing us the illusion, very important to understand, it's an illusion, the illusion of shelter against the storm. And the special relationship can be one that you have with your dog or your cat. The special relationship can be one that you have with your family, a member of your family. It can be a friend. It can be a lover. It can be your employer. So we can have special relationships all over the place, and in fact, we usually do. Have special relationships over and over again with all kinds of people. And for some people, and this was me, I only had special relationships. All my relationships were ego-based relationships. I had no idea that a holy relationship was even something that existed. And so my relationships, there was a time in my life, or for my whole life until I began to really live A Course in Miracles, I found that all my relationships were disappointing. And maybe you've got that. I don't know that I would have admitted that, but truthfully, I can say now that until I started allowing myself to have holy relationships, all my relationships, which were special relationships, ego-based relationships, they were all disappointing. In fact, I was in this loop, I call it the hamster wheel, of being disappointed by everyone over and over and over again. Everybody was disappointing to me all the time. And so I didn't trust people. I expected them to disappoint me and to let me down. And because I had that expectation, I was projecting that into every relationship. And of course, I was experiencing it again and again and again and again, because my faith was in that expectation of disappointment. So it was a major healing for me to give that up and to move in faith that everything is working together for my good. And I can only be disappointed if I have expectations, if I have attachment to how I think people should be, what they should do. So the special relationship provides us the illusion of shelter against the storm. And you know those special relationships when they begin, there's often that feeling of, oh, finally someone understands me. Finally, this person gets me. I was listening to Stevie Wonder yesterday, and he's got a great song, but it's that song that goes, "For once in my life, I've got someone who needs me." And it's like, oh, special relationship. You know, you can think of, there's so many songs about special relationship. In fact, I invite you, if you have a special relationship song that you love, or you just find it fun, you can maybe put it into our Living A Course in Miracles Facebook group. You know, what are some of your special relationship songs that you love? There's, of course, there's The Police, Every Breath You Take, right? Every Move You Make, I'll Be Watching You. That's a special relationship song. How about I Can't Live If Living Is Without You, right? So we've got all these tribute songs to special relationship. I used to do that thing where you have a breakup in the relationship and you put on, you know, all your special relationship breakup songs, cry your eyes out and think, oh, I'll never be happy again. He was the one, he was the one, he was the one. Yeah. We're all one. We're all one. The idea that there's only one is absolute insanity. It really is. I come to see that now. I know I was listening to, somebody gave me something to listen to from Abraham Hicks. And in there, she was talking about meeting the one. And to this one person she was addressing, she said, for you, there's at least 1,000 the ones. Why think that there's only one? That's we're looking for the special relationship. Instead of thinking there's only one person that can make me happy or be my partner or save my life or fill me up or whatever it is that we might be thinking, how about this? Maybe, might not be true for everyone, but for me personally, one is plenty. So I can be so happy and fulfilled knowing there's only one and I'm it. I'm it. And when I can recognize that I am the one, I am the love of my life, then I can attract into my life one who feels the same. One who feels the same, that they are the love of their lives. And two people who are willing to be the love of their lives can come together and be a celebration of love in holy relationship. But the special relationship is that I'm seeking shelter against the storm, and you're my answer. You're going to be my one. You're going to meet my needs. You're going to validate me. You're going to fill me up. You're going to answer my questions. Together, we have a port in the storm. And that whole idea of shelter against the storm, that the relationship provides that, or as, what is it, Dr. Phil says, a safe place to fall. If that's what we're looking for in that relationship, then oh my goodness. Aren't we affirming that life is a storm? That life is a raging storm from which we must find shelter. And if we don't find shelter in that special relationship, we're just going to be at the mercy of the storm. Now, for me, I'm not interested in affirming that life is a storm. I do not want to live at the edge of a storm. I do not have any interest in that. I would like to live at the center of peace and love and joy and freedom, prosperity, wholeness, beauty, wisdom, clarity, affluence. This is where I'm interested in living, not in the storm. So I'm not interested in affirming that there is a storm. I'm interested in seeing life without storms. No storms at all. So A Course in Miracles tells us that our special relationship is constructed to save us and distract us from, to save us from the world and distract us from God. To distract us from waking up. Because instead of having a realization of the truth that sets us free, we're thinking that this person is going to be our freedom. They're so special, and we're so special to them that they're going to rescue us. They're going to save us. And so when we're in this special relationship, we are thinking that that person is our savior. And again, it could be your dog. But that being is your savior. So if we're thinking that someone is going to be our savior, our rescuer, our hope, our resurrection, then we've got a false idol happening. And we have placed that person where God could be in our life. So the holy relationship recognizes that God is all that there is, and God is our salvation. Love is our salvation. And that we can be that loving presence and save ourselves and everyone else. That we can be the light of the world. Now, one of the things that I think is extremely helpful to understand is that A Course in Miracles talks all the time about we are the light. And that this is our true nature. In fact, in Lesson 44, it says, in order to see with God's eyes, to see clearly, to see beyond the illusion of time and space, to know the truth that sets you free, in order to see, you must recognize that light is within, not without. Light is within, not without. And so, Lesson 61, I am the light of the world. That is my only function. That is why I am here. And it says in Lesson 61, humility consists of accepting your role in salvation and in taking no other. It is not humility to insist you cannot be the light of the world if that is the function God assigned to you. It is only arrogance that would assert this function cannot be for you. And arrogance is always of the ego. So true humility requires that you accept, I am the light of the world, because it is God's voice which tells you it is true. This is a beginning step in accepting your real function on earth. It is a giant stride toward taking your rightful place in salvation. It is a positive assertion of your right to be saved and an acknowledgement of the power that is given you to save others. You'll want to think about this idea as often as possible. It is the perfect answer to all illusions and therefore to all temptation. I am the light of the world. That is my only function. That is why I am here. Lesson 61. So humility consists of accepting your role in salvation and taking no other. So your role in salvation is to be the salvation of the world. To be it. Through recognizing you are the light of the world and so am I. When we're willing to recognize in each other and in ourselves that we're all the light of the world, this is our function. Our function is to wake up and bring an end to all war, all peace, all war, bring peace and put an end to all divisiveness, all sense of separation, all sense of lack and limitation. And we do that through the healing that takes place at the level of the mind. So we're the light of the world. A Course in Miracles tells us that our grievances hide the light of the world in us. That's Lesson 69. Our grievances hide the light of the world in us. So the only way that we can be the light of the world and be a truly helpful, loving presence is to hold no grievances. Love holds no grievances, Lesson 68. And our grievances hide the light of the world in us. So fundamentally, every single person that is not awakened yet, every single person that's having any kind of turmoil whatsoever, does not recognize that they are the light of the world and that this is their only function. And we fulfill our function by releasing all grievances. And that's what forgiveness is. Releasing all the attachment to the meaning we've made of things. Releasing all the attachment to the interpretation we've made of things. So I find it incredibly helpful to understand that we are light beings. This is our true nature. We were talking about this with Patricia, that we are these great rays. And A Course in Miracles tells us that as the ego would limit your perception of your brothers to the body, so would the Holy Spirit release your vision and let you see the great rays shining from them, so unlimited that they reach to God. It is this shift to vision that is accomplished in the holy instant. Yet it is needful for you to learn just what the shift entails, so you will become willing to make it permanent. So we're cultivating the willingness to make it permanent that we can see ourselves and each other as beings of light, as these great rays. Now, if you just take for a second this truth that you're a being of light and so is everyone else, and that most people walking around on the planet, they have some kind of a belief that there's something wrong with them, that they're bad, that they should be punished, that they are being punished, that they're unworthy, they're not good enough, they're evil. Almost everyone I talk to has this belief that they're healing. So if you are willing to just take it on faith, I'm a being of light, and so is everyone else. One of the things that we know about light, we can absolutely have no problem understanding this, witnessing to it in every moment of every day. With light, you cannot affix anything to light. So right now, I've got the sunlight pouring into this room. There's no way for me to hang anything on that light. There's no way for me to affix anything to it. Now, I have a table lamp over here, and that table lamp has a shade on it. And that shade, it obscures the light to some degree. But it doesn't attach to the light. So the shade is filtering the light, but it is not attached to the light. And even I can have stained glass windows, and the light pouring in through the stained glass windows will be colored, but that color is not attached to the light. There's no way to attach anything to light. So every belief that we have that we are in any way bad or wrong, unworthy, undeserving, those illusions, those thoughts, they're like the shade on the lamp. We can remove the shade on the lamp and the light is no longer filtered. So every thought we have, every belief that we have, that we're bad, that we're wrong, that we're dirty, that we should be punished, that we're unworthy, all those beliefs, they cannot stick to us. But they can only be like a shade on a lamp, filtering our projection of light into this world, but in no way permanently damaging or hurting our light. Our light is unbreakable. It's unhurtable. It's undamageable. And because our light can never actually really be put, it certainly can't be put out, and it can only be shaded, we can have an immediate, instant, miraculous healing And all healing is at the level of the mind. The only time it takes to have a healing is the time that it takes to have a realization. What does it take to have a realization? Willingness. That's all. That's all. So the only thing that's required for us to have a relationship healing is willingness. Cultivating that willingness. Now, the special relationship is designed to keep us stuck in time and space and to not recognize our true identity and not to recognize the true identity of our brothers and sisters. And our willingness to recognize our true identity and the true identity of our brothers and sisters is what makes a holy relationship possible. Now, one of my favorite sections in the entirety of A Course in Miracles is in chapter 17, the Forgiveness and Holy Relationship chapter, and it's section 5. It's entitled The Healed Relationship. Any time that you have relationship issues coming up for healing, I encourage you to read this section. So this Healed Relationship section, it's 4 pages, so it's not a lot. And the major part of it is on that first page, where it tells us that the holy relationship is a major step in our awakening, and that relationship is the best tool we have for our awakening. And it says that we can offer our relationship to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will make it holy. Now, I love that. Oh, that when I first read that, I just thought, score! Woohoo! Score, score, score. I don't have to figure out how to have a healing in my relationship. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, because I've been struggling with this. So instead of having to figure out how to have a holy relationship, all we have to do is give it to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit bring the healing. Now, it says here that the holy relationship is a phenomenal teaching accomplishment. This is in paragraph 2 of section 5, The Healed Relationship. It says, in all its aspects, as it begins, develops, and becomes accomplished, the holy relationship represents the reversal of the unholy relationship. Be comforted in this. The only difficult phase is the beginning. And that's the truth. I have talked to so many people over the years who have done this work of transforming a special relationship to a holy relationship. And time again, people have told me that the beginning was the hardest part. It certainly was for me in every instance. The only difficult phase is the beginning. For here, the goal of the relationship is abruptly shifted to the exact opposite of what it was. So remember, the goal of the special relationship is shelter against the storm. And that affirmation of lack and limitation and difficulty and pain and suffering. That's the purpose of the special relationship, is temporary relief from suffering. The holy relationship, its goal is permanent relief from suffering. So these are totally different goals. They may seem to be similar, but any temporary relief from suffering just prolongs our actual healing. So the special relationship, it says, is the exact opposite of the holy relationship. So two kinds of relationship, two totally diametrically opposed goals. And as soon as we give the relationship to the Holy Spirit for healing, the Holy Spirit wastes not one second and begins to bring the healing about. Now, one of the ways I have found helpful to think about this is, let's say you're living in a house, which is kind of what a special relationship is, shelter from the storm. It's a structure. You're living in that house that's been built for this purpose, shelter against the storm. And now you're taking that structure and you're reconfiguring it to support your awakening, your salvation, your healing, your life of love unfolding, the revelation of light that you are, to support this goal of opening up to spirit and having true enlightenment. Now it's got a totally different goal. So you could think of, if your house that you are living in was designed for one purpose, let's say it was designed for, to have like a kennel of animals, and it was designed for that. And now you're saying, nope, instead of having a kennel in the house, we're going to have people. Rather than having all these animals in cages, now we're going to have people who want to live in nice, big, expansive rooms with high ceilings, and they want to have closets and bathrooms, and it's a totally different structure. So the Holy Spirit, as soon as you say, okay, I'd like to go from that structure to this structure, the Holy Spirit, like an amazing, miraculous contractor, comes in and starts moving the walls and taking off the roof and doing all kinds of things to reconfigure the structure for the new purpose. It has to be reconfigured for the new purpose or it won't work. And that's the place where most people, in their trajectory of relationship healing, they just give up. And they want to walk away from the relationship. They want to say, this is too hard. I can't do this. I don't have what it takes. Or that person isn't cooperating. They don't want to do it. I want to abandon ship. And I've counseled so many people who will make an appointment for spiritual counseling with me, and they'll say, okay, I just want you to tell me, can I walk away from this relationship? Can I end this relationship? It's not happy making. I don't enjoy it. The person doesn't understand me. I don't understand them. This is unsatisfying. Blah, 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 blah. All the reasons why they want to walk away. They should walk away. They are going to walk away. And they want my blessing and permission to walk away from the relationship, or to, as most people say it, end the relationship. Now, on a personal level, you know, I know everything works together for good. So, that being the case, as a Good Course in Miracles student, I'm interested in using the tools of the Course to save time spent in suffering. And that's what the Course says over and over again. This is how you can save time. You can save so much time doing this, doing that. So when we are saying, I want to end this relationship, on just the most practical terms, if we're one with each other and we're eternal, which we are, we're both one with each other and eternal, is it even possible for us to end a relationship? If we're all one, how do we end a relationship? We have an eternal relationship. Our relationship is infinite and without end. It's not based in time and space. It just looks that way temporarily. So when we want to end a relationship, what we're really doing is saying, I'm going to delay my healing. So what I have come to see is the most prudent path is to, instead of trying to end the relationship or wanting to end the relationship, which I know is very tempting, for years and years and years, my knee-jerk reaction was, I got to get out of here. I got to run. I'm out. I'm done. This is not working for me. I'm out of here. I was a runner. I was definitely a runner. First, I would attack and make it the other person's fault. I have to run. You are untenable. I cannot handle you. It's your fault. You're bad. You're wrong. I got to go. I got to get away from you because you are a nightmare. That was me. So, or I would stay long past was healthy. Like, oh boy. But now I know, do I stay or do I go? Great song by The Clash. Wonderful band that I love. But do I stay or do I go? Yes. Yes. You give it to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you. So you don't have to make any decisions anymore. Remember the truly helpful prayer on page 28? I am here only to be truly helpful. That's it right there. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say in my relationships, in my conversations. I don't have to worry about what to say or what to do because God who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. Yes. Yes. That's it right there, page 28 in the Course. That's the purpose. So let us just relax and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to be making the most loving choice. The most loving choice for anyone is the most loving choice for everyone. The thing is that people get confused about what the most loving choice is. The most loving choice is there for people who have eyes to see and ears to hear, who are willing to be guided by the Holy Spirit. That's how we find the most loving choice. And sometimes the most loving choice could be to say, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a break. Now, I have had several instances in my life where I was in a relationship with someone that I dearly, dearly loved. With a friend, I've had it a couple of times with a friend. I've had it with a sweetheart, a man in my life. And things were not going well. I could not see the forest for the trees. I was feeling lost. I was feeling hurt. I was feeling resentful. I was feeling confused. And so I just said to the Holy Spirit, I need a break. I need a break. I need an opportunity to recalibrate so that I can see and know and feel and hear what's truly the highest and best, most loving choice. I need a break. I just need a break, some rest. And in those instances, it was amazing to me. It was miraculous to me how my sweetheart calls me up and says, guess what? I'm going out of the country for 3 months to work on this project. Wow, how wonderful, how perfect, how amazing. I didn't have to say, wow, Spirit is good. I just prayed that prayer and now you're calling me. What? How cool is that? What a coincidence. What a coincidence. So Spirit's got our back in every moment. And when we're really willing to find the most loving choice, it will be shown to us. So in that instance, I didn't know what the most loving choice was. But when I tuned into my own heart, into my own gut, into my own feelings, I just knew, I need a break. I need a rest. I'm confused. I'm upset. This is not how I can best discern anything. I need whatever it takes for me to get clarity And it feels like a break would be really good. And it was. It was. Same in friendships, where I can't seem to get things to work, and there's disharmony and turmoil. We're not seeing eye to eye. I've had it with family members, and the temptation is it used to be for me, I'm not speaking to them anymore. I am done with them. They can talk to the hand. I'm complete. I don't need this. I'm never going to speak to them again. When those thoughts were running through my mind, just getting to that place of saying, okay, I don't know what anything is for. I'm interested in profound and lasting eternal freedom. Real healing. That's what I'm interested in. I'm willing to call that forth and have that as my life experience from now on. I am willing. Calling it forth, having it right now. I don't know how to get from A to B except to give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that I know. That's what I'm choosing. So I'm grateful and thankful that there is a Holy Spirit. There is a higher self, a holy self, that can do the heavy lifting. So this is what it says to us. The first result of offering the relationship to the Holy Spirit is that the purpose of the relationship is going to be abruptly shifted, because the special relationship and the holy relationship have completely different goals. And it says, as soon as we invite the Holy Spirit in, the invitation is accepted immediately, and the Holy Spirit wastes no time in introducing the practical results of asking Him to enter. At once, the Holy Spirit's goal replaces yours. This is accomplished very rapidly, but it makes the relationship seem disturbed, disjunctive, and even quite distressing. So you may go through a time when you're endeavoring to have a holy relationship. You will most likely go through a time where you feel confused and disheartened, and you'll start to notice that it just doesn't make sense anymore. You feel like you're failing. Your fingers can't hold on to it. And it says, the reason is quite clear, for the relationship as it is out of line with its own goal. So the special relationship goal has been tossed out by the Holy Spirit. Now, the holy relationship goal, perfect union, has been adopted. But the way the relationship has been designed, the way the house has been designed, is still in place. So it has to be reconfigured. And so I describe it as, it's like you're living in a house that is under construction. So imagine that you're in times where there's turmoil, a storm, if you will. You still believe in the storm, still working with that storm, and thinking that the relationship is sheltered from the storm, but now you've given it to the Holy Spirit, and the walls are coming down, the roof is coming off. I'm going to open up this section and expand it. We're going to add closets and bathrooms and meditation room and all these things. So now these walls and the roof are coming off. Everything's shifting and changing. And it's very discombobulating. It's very disorienting. And the temptation is to cling to the old goal because it's just what you know. But now it seems to make no sense. And it says here very clearly, and this is paragraph 3 of this section, the healed relationship. Many relationships have been broken off at this point, and the pursuit of the old goal reestablished in another relationship. And that's the temptation to say, oh, you know what? I got to get out of this relationship. I got to start another relationship. That's going to be my salvation. That other relationship is going to be my salvation. That's what I got to go for. That's what's going to help me. The desire to run, to get out, becomes very intense. So this is happening for a holy purpose. It's happening for you to strengthen in your mind your willingness to choose the goal, to stay committed to your choice, and to not give up, to not allow yourself to be deterred or distracted. And there will be a million excuses of why you should get out and run and go find another relationship. But if you're willing, the holy relationship will emerge. If you don't give up, the holy relationship will emerge. Now, here's the kicker. The kicker that the ego just practically faints and drops dead from. Because it is so completely, the ego would rather just kill itself than accept this fact. The holy relationship may not have the same form as the special relationship. So it could be the holy relationship would be that your let's say marriage, you become friends. But you see, the ego is like, oh, no, 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 that is not a relationship healing. That is a relationship disaster. I need this relationship to be a committed marriage for the rest of my life. That is the only idea of holy relationship that works for me. But what if the marriage as such is complete, but the friendship is not? We don't know. We can't see through all directions of time and space. Our awareness is not that open yet. So we have to go on faith that the Holy Spirit knows what it's doing and that everything works together for our good. It's a time for faith. It's a time for real faith. And the reward of faith is ultimate happiness, peace of mind, true joy. So what the Course is telling us here is that the relationship, once you give it to the Holy Spirit to be made holy, it will be accomplished very rapidly, but it makes the relationship seem disturbed, disjunctive, and even quite distressing. It makes no sense now. Many relationships have been broken off at this point, and the pursuit of the old goal reestablished in another relationship. It says, once the unholy relationship has accepted the goal of holiness, it can never again be what it was. So we're giving up the possibility of temporary happiness for lasting happiness. And that the ego just does not believe in lasting happiness. It doesn't know about lasting happiness because it can't experience it. It says, the temptation of the ego becomes extremely intense with this shift in goals, for the relationship has not as yet been changed sufficiently to make its former goal completely without attraction, and its structure is threatened by the recognition of its inappropriateness for meeting its new purpose. The conflict between the goal and the structure of the relationship is so apparent that they cannot coexist. Now, it says, only a radical shift in purpose could induce a complete change of mind about what the whole relationship is for. As this change develops and is finally accomplished, it grows increasingly beneficent and joyous. This is a time for faith. Do not abandon faith now that the rewards of faith are being introduced. If you believed the Holy Spirit was there to accept the relationship, why would you now not still believe that He is there to purify what He has taken under His guidance? Have faith in your brother in what seems to be a trying time. Now, the holy relationship only requires one person to make the decision. You don't even have to tell anyone else. And I've witnessed this. I've done it myself. I know so many people that literally their marriage ended. It was over. It was a disaster. And then someone in the marriage said, I'm going to have a holy relationship with my ex. Sometimes those people have gotten back together. And sometimes they haven't. They've just become best friends. But in each instance, there was true and lasting happiness. This is the path. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for those who cut and run. So once we give the relationship to the Holy Spirit to make it holy, we have to be willing to ride it out. But that does not mean ever that we accept abuse. It never means that. We can allow the Holy Spirit to affect a holy relationship, even with someone who's passed on. So the person doesn't have to be living in your house or even present in your life in order to have a holy relationship with them, which I think is amazing. And it works. I know that it works. And our willingness is all that's required. So one of the things that we'll talk about tomorrow are specific tips and tools about how to work on a moment-by-moment basis with the ego upsets and hurts and resentments and fears and doubts and worries so that we don't abandon the holy relationship. But my invitation to you is to immediately, right now, declare that you're willing to have a holy relationship and to invite the Holy Spirit in. But just do be prepared for the relationship to shift and change. Now, I've done this with all kinds of relationships, so each one is unique. And I have no regrets about ever making that move to holy relationship. In every case, it has been hugely beneficial and cumulatively beneficial. Absolutely amazing. Yes, 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 yes. I'm so grateful for this. Now, I want to give you some other resources, just in case this is the only class that you listen to, or this is the first class that you've listened to. I would like to give you some other resources. So I have a Course in Miracles radio show that I've been doing since September 2011. And so we have 240-some episodes now. And they're all free, all available to download. You can easily access the radio show through iTunes if you just search for me. If you go to jenniferhadley.com and go to the events page, you can click through about the radio show right there. Then, in addition to that, I'd like you to know that oftentimes in the month of February, in that archive, you'll see I dedicate most of the month to relationship healing. So there are many episodes, and episodes not just in the month of February, that are about relationship healing. And so those are all free for you for downloading. And we have a project that we're working on right now to transcribe all the radio shows. And so those transcripts will be coming available also. Another thing that you will find helpful is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a key, obviously, to having relationship healing. Forgiving ourselves as much or more than forgiving others. And I have a free forgiveness workshop called How to Get Over It. How to Get Over It. And that's on the homepage at jenniferhadley.com. I have other free resources on the events page at jenniferhadley.com, and I encourage you to take a look at those and to make use of those as well. I'm offering free things every day. I offer my free daily inspiration that I write and my daily prayer. You can sign up to receive those in your email. You can put the prayer line in your speed dial. And we also have a podcast of the prayers. So you can literally download a whole bunch of prayers and have them available for you all the time. Another resource we have for you, if you don't have a copy of A Course in Miracles and you're not sure you want to go out and buy one or you don't wish to wait, the A Course in Miracles app for iPhones and iPads is totally free at iTunes, and it's called A Course in Miracles app. It's complete with deluxe features, and it's free. You can go to acimapp.com, and you can click there and get the download of the free A Course in Miracles app. So, and another thing for you to know is I have a number of events that are coming up. There's the A Course in Miracles retreat in North Carolina. That's in October on our Columbus Day weekend, October 7th to 10th. And then the following weekend, I'm doing a forgiveness weekend retreat. And when I do a weekend retreat, I like to do three nights in 4 days and extend that weekend so that we can get as much healing done as possible. I love doing retreats. My retreats are deeply focused on having real breakthroughs, lasting breakthroughs, life-changing breakthroughs. So some people may even wish to come for the Living A Course in Miracles retreat October 7th and stay right through the forgiveness retreat. And then we could even do some one-on-one work in between. Also, I imagine that I've got some of my counselors that I've trained or am training, and they may be there at those events, and then you can do low-cost counseling sessions with them as a really nice bonus. If you would like some relationship counseling support, I do counseling, but I also train spiritual counselors and certify them. And I offer, if you go to the counseling page at jenniferhadley.com, it's under the classes. If you go to the counseling page, you can see their information about booking a session with me. But more importantly, in a sense, I have the folks who are in my spiritual counseling certification program, and they're doing sessions on a love offering basis. So you can go there and you can book sessions with them for a love offering. And I invite you to make the most of that. These are wonderful people and they're committed to doing their work. They're beautiful. And I think you'll find that that's truly helpful. And if you're interested in learning more about my spiritual counseling certification program, you can find information there at jenniferhadley.com. Everything also is always listed at the events page. And there are also my spiritual counseling intensives. That's a week-long training, and it's open to anyone. My programs are open to anyone. So I have found that people who don't know anything about spiritual counseling have come just to do the deep work and found it was extremely beneficial. And I've also had people who came because they wanted to get continuing education or licensing units. They're already a coach, already a therapist, already doing the work, and they're looking to improve their skills and also get their professional qualifications met. So my next spiritual counseling training intensive is in England at the beginning of September, and then the one after that is in November in Thailand. So I like to do it in a beautiful place where we can also have fun and have a really wonderful spiritual getaway, a real retreat. And I think one of the nicest compliments anybody has paid to me about my spiritual counseling intensive is someone who had been in class with me for years said, "Jennifer, I knew this would be good, but I had no idea it could be this good." And that's because the level of personal healing that happens and the level of fun and joy that we have when we come together for a holy purpose. I'm also doing, it's a small group, we're doing a sacred sightseeing around Salisbury, Stonehenge, Bath, Glastonbury, Avebury at the beginning of September. So you could combine that with the spiritual counseling intensive in England in September if you were interested in making that trip. And then, but you don't have to combine it. You can do whichever. What else? Oh, there's a New Year's reboot retreat in North Carolina to start your year right. And then there's also my self-love and extreme pampering retreat in Thailand in November. And I say book early because if you're interested, you can even do a payment plan. So at least you're holding your place there. We offer payment plans for everything because we understand how life is and we're interested in supporting you in doing your best work. So we also offer early bird pricing on many things and you can get in there and get started. Get the early bird price and a payment plan. So it doesn't get better than that. And we try to make everything as absolutely affordable as possible. And then the other thing is on Saturday, I'm going to be doing a preview for my Finding Freedom Boot Camp, which is my A Course in Miracles boot camp. And it's my class on Saturday is called Stop Blocking the Miracle. Three things you can do now to activate your miraculous life of love. Stop blocking the miracle. That's my Saturday class. And I'll be telling you more about my spiritual boot camp so you can see if it's what's interesting for you at this time. If it's right for you at this time. If anything's right for you at this time, you'll know it. You'll feel it. That's your intuition letting you know. I always say trust that. Absolutely trust what your intuition is telling you. You will know. So lots of relationship tools. There's the spiritual counseling opportunities. There's all those radio show episodes. There's free classes. So all these things to support you in calling forth a holy relationship and sticking with it and having it, bringing it forth in your life. One of the results that so many people have in the Finding Freedom class is that they have amazing and miraculous relationship healing while they're in the boot camp because of the work they're doing. So if that appeals to you, of course we have payment plans and we'll be letting you know about all that. So let's take this breath of love and gratitude and come back right into our heart right now. We've got a whole nother class tomorrow on this topic. I'm going to give you specific tips and tools to really fire up your relationship healing. I'm excited about that. So with our hand on our heart, taking this breath of love and gratitude once again, so grateful, so thankful to open ourselves to unlimited healing, unprecedented healing. So grateful that by choosing to have a healing in our heart, we're being a beneficial presence. We're living the love and sharing the benefits with everyone. So grateful here and now to call forth holy relationship healing in our mind, in our heart, in our life. We are grateful and thankful to call upon the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting. We are cultivating our willingness to be a healing presence in this world. We're saying yes to being truly helpful. We're saying yes to living a miraculous life. We're saying yes to accepting insight, wisdom, and clarity to being the presence of love. In gratitude, we allow our healing to be. We allow it to be shared with everyone. So grateful and so thankful to say yes right now, without delay, it's happening now. In gratitude, we know it's done, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I'll be with you tomorrow. Thank you so much. Mwah!
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.